So we talked about legislative action, zoning being a legislative action. So when the council is making a decision, generally a simple majority vote will approve or deny a zoning request. The statute calls out two exceptions to that. And one is if a protest is filed by 20% of the area within 200 feet of the zoning request. And what I want to say about this is I work with cities, smaller cities all the time, that think this says 20% of the owners. It is not 20% of the owners, it's 20% of the area. And I want to give you an example. If one owner has 90% of the area within 200 feet, and 10 owners own an area that is 10% of the area within 200 feet, those 10 owners could not trigger the three-quarter vote requirement. But the one owner that owns the 90% could. So it is the area within 200 feet, not the number of owners within 200 feet that trigger the three-quarter vote requirement. And then the other instance is if the owner of the property that's being rezoned protests, that also triggers a three-quarter vote requirement. And this can really arise in two situations. One is in a city-initiated rezoning to, say, implement its comprehensive plan, or when the council's discussion of the zoning that they will approve in the midst of their discussions is not what the owner wants. It's my opinion that the owner can say, I am not in agreement with this and I am protesting, and go give a sheet of paper to the city secretary that says, I protest, blah, blah, blah. They can do that very quickly. And that would also trigger a three-quarter vote requirement by the council. Any questions on this one? It's one that we use kind of all the time. So now we get to the fun stuff for me. And this is going to be like, how many of you are attorneys? Oh, wow. Well, all of you non-attorneys are going to kind of go to law school today. Because when we talk about making a zoning decision, we are guided by constitutional principles. So if you want to know what we did in law school, we're going to give you a little taste. So there are three U.S. constitutional amendments that are involved in zoning property. One is the 14th Amendment. The second is the 5th Amendment. And the third is the 1st Amendment. And we're going to take a look at each of those, and we're going to apply them to land use regulations so that you can understand in a very practical way, when you're in the midst of a highly charged zoning case, what you should be considering and thinking about when you're asked to take action on that, or if your staff make a recommendation on it. So the 14th Amendment is called the Equal Protection Clause and the Due Process Clause. So it really has two functions. So as an Equal Protection Clause and the Due Process Clause, it says that a government, a city, shall not deprive a person of life, liberty, or property, we're talking about property today, without due process of law, nor, this is the equal protection part, deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. So distilled down, what the 14th Amendment says is before you can affect somebody's property interest, they get notice and a hearing. And two, and I have to say this like not after drinking three beers, all persons similarly situated should be treated similarly. Okay? That's like a tongue twister for me. All persons similarly situated should be treated similarly. So let's take a look at the 14th Amendment in a couple of land use scenarios. So first of all, a municipality refuses to zone land for multifamily government-subsidized housing project, okay? So we call this sometimes Section 8 housing, or kind of more popularly lately, tax credit multifamily. There's a program that is a public housing program that's the tax credit program that provides credits for developers of either income-based housing that affords housing for low-income people or age-based housing that provides housing for elderly people.